You're listening to Irish Sports Talk.
Hello, Notre Dame fans. Welcome to Irish Sports Talk. This is episode 453, and today is Monday, March 5th, 2018, and we're going to talk about Notre Dame's spring camp as well as the NFL Combine. And Randall's here as well. Randall,
how's it going?
Do you have a word for us?
One thing I will say, Brian Kelly said he saw Quentin Nelson at Notre Dame today during his press conference, and he asked if he was coming back if he changed his mind, but sadly, Quentin Nelson said he did not. So,
I guess
it's not surprising, but no. it has been confirmed.
Let's talk about the combine first, because I don't think that'll take quite as long. And then we do want to talk about spring practice a little more. So NFL Combine, Josh Adams did not run the 40. He really didn't do any besides the bench press. He didn't do the other drills or workouts.
And he actually wasn't that impressive as a bench press. What did he have? 19 EQ. Actually, had one more than he did.
I have it right here. He had 18.
Okay.
And that means he's. there were some guys who had fewer than him.
At running back?
Yeah, there was a couple that had 11, a couple that had 12 and 13.
Well, I know Saquon Barkley was insane.
It was 29.
29.
Yeah.
Which is ridiculous. So
there was two running. Nick Chubb also had 29.
Wow.
So I'm a little disappointed that Adams didn't run the 40, because I'm just curious where he's at.
He'll do it at Pro Day.
Well, he needs to, but I don't know. I was still hoping. I was just curious. Wanted to see where he was at.
He wanted to settle the debate to see whether he's fast or not.
I think he's got good top-end speed, but it takes him a while to get there.
Yeah, yeah. Josh Adams was asked about playing behind one of the best offensive lines in the country. He said it was the best. They got the Joe Moore Award, so that kind of speaks for himself. So he gave props to the offensive line, but he didn't say too much on whether that offensive line will be as good as the NFL line he'll be behind. Quentin Nelson was a beast and had 35 reps in bench press, so he
definitely, you know, you always, it seems there's always a player that comes into the combine where they underwhelm and then they kind of lose some of the hype around them. And going into it, Nelson had all the hype that he could ever have asked for, and coming out of it, I don't think that changed at all.
Yeah, I think he actually moved up. Some of the other guys, offensive linemen, struggled. Orlando Brown was supposed to be one of the top offensive linemen. He only had 14 reps on the bench press, and during some of the drills, the coach were actually yelling at him to speed up, like he was just lagging. So I think he kind of dropped, and Nelson headed in the right direction, and looks like he's going to be one of the top picks. I always think McClinchy seemed like he helped himself out a little bit. I mean, he's higher in mock drafts than what he had been earlier. There's still almost 2 months, so it can change up and down all these mock drafts. But as far as the bench press, they're obviously doing better. The strength and conditioning program is showing the difference. Isaac Rochelle, last year, he actually did less at the combine than he had as a freshman at Notre Dame. So you can see the difference. Like, there obviously, there was issues there, and now it's better. And then even EQ, I was surprised with what EQ was doing on the field. He had more reps than Smythe Adams. He had 20 on the bench press.
He helped himself at the combine.
I did not expect. He was just always this scrawny guy that.
I know.
I even saw one report that the guy had him as his number one receiver.
As far as he ran the 40 and he tied for 12th out of the receiver group, and he ran a 4.48.
One thing that's kind of interesting between Nelson and McClinchy, Nelson's arm measurements are shorter. His arm length is shorter than McClinchy, but his wingspan is longer, which just shows how wide he is as a human being. He's a very large man, so.
I wonder if you'd have twins attached, playing football, would it count as one person or would it count as two? Because you could get, if you'd have you know, five on the offensive line, think how wide that offensive line would be.
So you're saying they could potentially have 12 players on the field instead of 11?
Well, I'm saying even more than that. If they'd have attached twins at all five offensive line positions, you know.
Wow. There was actually a guy that competed at the combine, or was at the combine, and he does not have his one hand. Like, he just has a stub. And he has a prosthetic that he used through the bench press, but he played for Central Florida, linebacker, and he's very fast, and I think he'll get drafted, but I think he would be the first guy that would actually be drafted and is missing a hand.
Wow.
I think so.
That's cool.
He's a freak. He can still play. Obviously, what's his face for the Giants, Paul, the defensive end, is missing half his hand after his firework incident, and he can still play. Obviously not as dominant as he had been before, but he's still playing. But as far as the guys there at the combine, Nelson, you know, when he talked with the media, he said one thing. When he plays football, he says, "I want to take away the opponent's will to play." So I think he was kind of asked if he is a dominant, I mean, how competitive or fierce he is, you know, does he look at himself as a fierce player? And obviously he does. And then McClinchy mentioned that whenever he struggled at Notre Dame, was having a hard time, he would go watch film of Ronnie Stanley and how he did things, and learned a lot from that. But yeah, the EQ, kind of an interesting comment. He wished that he could have played at a heavier weight as a sophomore, which, if you remember that interview we had with his dad, they were not impressed with the strength and conditioning staff there. And he was actually...
Prior to Coach Bayless and...
Yeah. And he actually, his measurements were worse after he got to Notre Dame than when he went there, according to John Brown, his dad's measurements. And he also said he wished he would have had more competitive catches at Notre Dame, which I think we can all agree with that.
Yeah, I can see why he might.
At least he's bringing it out in the opening.
Might have benefited from
and admitting to it. So, I don't think he had any references to protein, though. So, they might have put a stop to that before. Anyways, that's about it for the combine.
All right, let's talk about spring practice.
Oh. One more thing I want to mention. This was just some random thing with combine. The punter, Michael Dixon from Texas, he said with his meeting with the, or interview with the Seahawks, they had a staring contest.
Did he win?
I don't know. I didn't find out. But I was trying to think about that, and I was like, I guess that's one way to see how focused he is and how.
I think it just goes to show.
But that is a random, like, who, hey, let's have a staring contest.
Well, I think that's just adding to the disrespect that special teams players get, kickers and punters.
Well, I guess it would kind of make sense. I could see why you'd want your
punter. Well, it makes it sound like it's kind of like a joke.
Yeah. But anyways,
okay.
Moving on.
Spring practice. Brian Kelly had a press conference today. I did not get a chance to listen to it, but I did get some of the updates. Randall, you did listen to it live.
Yes.
But I guess let's just go through the different position groups and make comments about the different topics that were discussed. Let's start offense. Let's start with the quarterback. So Avery Davis, Brian Kelly said he'd get an opportunity to contribute somewhere other than quarterback, but he'll still be competing at quarterback, but he'll have the chance to get involved somewhere else.
He said he'll be on special teams, and I don't know. To me, that says he won't be playing much quarterback. But
and I do agree with you. But I think this is a good thing. I mean, he'll transfer, but if he's not going to, I mean, they have a backup. At the very least, I have a backup in Ian Book if he doesn't end up being the starter. So you may as well give the guy, if he's athletic, give him an opportunity to contribute somewhere else. And I don't know if he wants to be at Notre Dame or if he if he wants to be a quarterback more than he wants to be at Notre Dame, but that'll definitely become clear soon enough.
Yeah, he's definitely a guy that could – he's athletic enough that could play running back, wide receiver, slot receiver, do something like that, more like it was Braxton Miller at from Ohio State. I mean, some quarterbacks, they do move position, but they don't
– Braxton Miller was – he had a really good wide receiver career.
Yeah. Well, what I'm saying is he is the type, Avery Davis is the type of guy that can make that switch. It'd be a little harder for, I couldn't see Brandon Wimbush as a wide receiver. Maybe as a running back, but I don't think he'd be that good at it, just as a running back. Avery Davis is more of the athlete. I mean, he's quick. He's not that big.
I don't know. I mean, Brandon Wimbush is really, really athletic.
I don't know, but I just don't see him as a wide receiver. But what I'm saying is I think Avery Davis is the quarterback that could do that and have success. And then Brandon Wimbush is going to be taking the first reps when they go out there. Brian Kelly said he's not the starter. He wants the quarterbacks to know that this is an open competition, that they all have the job to – I mean, they all have the chance to win this competition, but – Brandon Wimbush will be the first guy going out there, and honestly, he's going to be your starter next fall. Spring practice isn't going to matter.
You're probably right.
I'm making a prediction right now.
But this is another – Brian Kelly will announce the captains a week from – or tomorrow. And again, it's been mentioned numerous times that Notre Dame's quarterbacks are very seldom – a captain, and I don't think
it's not going to happen this year.
And last year, after kind of the hype around Brandon Wimbush and fall camp, and he's very charismatic and people loved him, and I still think I think he's a good teammate and the players love him, but I don't think he's going to be your captain. And I don't know if it'd be good to have your backup if it would end up that Brandon wouldn't be the starter if you want him as your captain.
Brian Kelly said they're going to name three, and that doesn't mean they're not going to name some more later on, you know, in fall. But one other comment he made about Brandon Wimbush is that, you know, he was asked how he's handling himself since the end of the season, and Brian Kelly said he's still the same guy. He's still, you know, he is that leadership type, and, you know, he's nothing has really changed as far as that, but he obviously changed his priorities a little bit, and football is his number one thing. And he said he's taking his development to the next level. And it sounds like he's staying in long after practice. He stays around longer, works on his mechanic, film, just different things. That's what he needs to do. He realizes it and is taking the steps to do that.
And getting those little things down, Pat, is going to help with his confidence.
Yeah. That's why I think, you know, there's always talk about whether the quarterback should get hit or not in spring or fall. I've always been in favor of, hey, let him get hit some. I was in favor of having Brandon Wimbush get hit in fall camp because the last snap he had taken,
year and a half,
he kind of got hurt.
He fumbled, right?
Didn't get hurt. He fumbled the ball, and so there was
it UMass, I think. I forget now.
Anyways, I don't think he should get hit at all in spring this time. He needs his confidence built and having a hit. Let him make the throws. What he needs is confidence that he can make those throws. And so even though he's not getting hit, let him make those throws.
I disagree with you. If you have plenty of healthy quarterbacks, and if there's no surefire, this is the starter, then I say let there be a little bit of contact. Maybe not every practice, but at least some.
This is what I'm saying. This quarterback competition is not.
It's not
as
a competition.
Whatever. Yeah, you had Ian Book, but you go look. Yeah, Brandon Wimbush had a bad ending to the year. Go back, watch the games at the beginning of the year, and see what he can do. Look at his touchdown. What did he have? 30 touchdowns and 10 interceptions or 10 turnovers? Like, that's insane. Mm-hmm. But because of how the year ended, Ian Book came in. Look at his ratios. They weren't very good. Like, his.
But Randall,
this is not Brandon Wimbush is your quarterback.
If we have the exact same Brandon Wimbush in 2018 as we had in 2017, he's not going to be scoring.
You mean at the end?
Well, I'm saying as a whole, he's not going to account for 30 plus touchdowns if he doesn't improve as a passer, because the offensive line is not going to be as good. That offensive line deserves a lot of credit for the running game that he and the running backs benefited from.
Oh, I'm sure. But that's why you need him. He's even better. He'll be better with an inexperienced offensive line than what Book will be.
Listen, Mike.
So I'm just telling you now, it's not a competition.
You're saying it's not a competition. I'm saying I was disappointed. I feared he'd get some of this straightened out before the bowl game. And I know that
there wasn't any time.
There was time.
Spring is not going to tell you anything either.
Well, then what is the summer going to tell you?
Well, what
you
I will keep, say, this
you
is
can
not...
just keep on saying this until he's a fifth-year senior.
What I'm saying, he is going to be the starter when they run out of the tunnel against Michigan. Brian Kelly will drag this out. He won't be named as a starter until who knows when.
Probably
I'm not saying that will change.
He probably won't be named a starter until
Michigan.
They're running out for the first snap.
But I could tell you right now that he should be the starter. And
the reason, I think you're right.
He has a reset button, and he has done too much. He is too gifted that he needs a game anyways.
And Brian Kelly loves experience.
Yeah. So he can overload them and they do worse in the second.
Oh, please. Let's not go there.
Anyways.
All right, let's move on then. Offensive line. Hainsey will get first look at left tackle. I don't know if there was anything else really from the offensive line.
Well, Brian Kelly said there's about four or five different combos that they could run out their offensive line. I mean, they have a lot of guys. And he did mention Hainsey. Obviously, Mustafa is your center. But other than that, you know, things they'll try different things. And they actually do have depth. And I think it's actually good. Yes, I'd still want Harry Hiestand here. But with McClinchy and Nelson leaving, I think this is a good time for a coaching transition because all the guys are going to get a chance. We've heard that Hiestand, you know, maybe had his guys kind of picked out sometimes, and so the other guys, you know, Hunter Bibben never got on the field. But I think this gives all the guys, there's a lot of players there that will get it, that could actually be, that have a lot of potential. And so Quinn is going to have a lot of decisions to make.
You say a lot. I'm thinking probably six, maybe seven.
No, there's at least eight.
As far as legitimate starters in 2018,
that could be starting, that are going to be in the competition. I already have it narrowed down to who I think it's going to be.
Well, who do you have down?
I think Hainsey is going to be your left tackle. I think Alex Barr is going to be your left guard. So you basically have the same, they just switch sides.
Mm-hmm.
They work good together. Mustafa's obviously your center. Kramer at right guard and Eichenberg at right tackle.
See, those are the five that I think, too, are going to end up being your starters.
But then you have Josh Lugg, Trevor Rulon, Aaron Banks. I mean,
Aaron Banks, yeah.
They love Aaron Banks. We know that. But there's a lot of guys. Right there's eight guys. I think Trevor Rulon is your backup center. Brian Kelly did mention that. But they could move him around to, you know, play guard or whatever. But obviously, you know, if Mustafa would go down, he could be starting at guard maybe, but if he goes down,
you'll see the new Hunter Bibben where he's a Swiss Army knife that doesn't see the field.
Yeah, sounds like it.
Let's move on. Tight ends, Alize Mack. Brian Kelly said that he has cleaned up or worked on his off-field issues.
He said he's on no list.
He said that last year, too. There's no players on any lists, right? And at fall
camp or something.
Well, it could
have been, but it changed pretty quickly, so.
I don't know. I don't know if he has that much to prove here in the spring. He just needs to make plays in the fall.
He has a lot.
During the games. He just needs to make plays.
I think he has a lot to prove, which, who knows, maybe he caught every ball in practice. But if this spring, if he doesn't do good this spring, he's going to get passed up in the fall by the other guys.
No.
Some of the other tight ends are injured, nursing injuries.
He's
right
not
now during
gonna...
the spring. But if he doesn't have a good spring, he's going to get passed up by somebody else.
He just needs to stop dropping balls, and he'll be fine.
Yeah. Hopefully, this will be his wake-up call. He's got another year yet that something, the light goes on. I'm sure people will say that there is no light there to even go on as far as catching the ball, but
George Takacs, is he out for all of spring?
Yeah. So he's an early enrollee and will be out. He has a cartilage tear and he will be out. But then as far as the other tight end, Nick Wisher is limited because of his shoulder. Brock Wright is limited with shoulder. And so there's not a lot of, and those guys can practice some, but they're limited. So you don't have a lot of healthy tight ends. Cole Kmet is with the baseball team, so it shouldn't interfere a lot. It's not supposed to, but he's still trying to play baseball and do spring practice, and it's going to take away from his practice. I mean, he's not going to be complete 100%. You can't. I mean, as far as mentally, just you can't tell me that he can be. But that's what I'm saying. This is Alizé's chance to have a big spring.
And I'm telling you,
and if he can't have a big spring with all these guys limited or out, then that's an issue.
I'm telling you, it's a given, though, is what I'm saying.
Okay, so you're basically saying
he's going to head into fall camp.
You're saying Mac, you're taking the same position with Mac as I am with Wimbush.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm guessing you're right. I could see him. I think he will be one of the top two guys in fall, but he can't slack off in spring.
Every season that he's been able to play where he hasn't been suspended, I mean, he's targeted. He just hasn't made enough plays. He's dropped too many balls, hasn't made the plays he needs to make.
And he can block, so.
All right, wide receivers.
I wanted to see what your Brian Kelly said Michael Young is going to get a lot of playing time. But then what I want to talk to you about, Boykin, Miles Boykin. Do you remember last year he was like the spring phenomenon?
Miles Boykin isn't fast enough to be. He made incredible plays. And his two catches were probably the most impressive two catches of the entire 2017 season.
Well, this is what Brian Kelly said. He said it's actually changed with him. He now has confidence. Like, that did something for his confidence. Like, he can be that player.
Does confidence make you faster?
Well, now listen to this. Brian Kelly said, I don't know what all this includes, but they have this speed school. They're doing these drills. And whatever is involved, that he mentioned some numbers. I don't know what all they do. But when they started, there was only one guy that was fast enough to do it, and that was Troy Pride. Obviously, he runs track. Now they're up to eight guys that can do it, and Miles Boykins is one of them. It's position. It's like change of direction, burst, different things like that, and Miles Boykins is one of those eight.
Well, that's shocking.
I know.
That's shocking.
And he could have a huge spring. Last year he had a big spring, and we expect him to be one of the starters in fall. Yeah. I mean, he looked good in spring practice.
And it's not that I don't like him. I think he's a smart, good
it's
character.
It's just hard to see a guy that's been around for this long actually make a big enough jump to make a difference. I mean, to actually get out on the field.
And even when he was recruited, I thought he would end up as a tight end. And I remember Brian Kelly said that they would keep him at wide receiver. I think it was a promise made to him, to Boykin.
Yeah, and he also... was it yesterday or today? I'd seen the video of him doing a vertical jump, and then Brian Kelly actually mentioned that he's doing four. It didn't say in the video how high he jumped, but Brian Kelly mentioned that he's like over 40-inch vertical.
Ah. 40-inch vertical?
This guy is surprised. He was basically knocking the last thing. He is, what is he, 6'5"?
I know, but that doesn't change your vertical, your height.
Well, I mean, he was hitting the last. You know how they have. You know how they check the vertical. Yeah. He was like, it was one of the last
Randall,
ones.
Even in the NFL Combine, the wide receiver's vertical.
I'm just telling you what Brian Kelly said today.
I think Brian Kelly's exaggerating.
I don't think he is. I think you're
the high Randall.
You need
highest,
to buy more
the
Miles
highest
Boykin
vertical.
Stock.
The highest vertical in the Combine for wide receivers was 40 inches.
That's what Brian Kelly said today. So, but he's obviously, Brian Kelly said he's making a change, so he has to. I mean, he doesn't have much of a chance left, and there's some good wide receivers coming in, this freshman wide receivers coming in this summer that we're supposedly told they're going to play. So, he has to step it up if he wants to get out in the field next year. And his best chance to do that is now and in spring practice before more wide receivers show up.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Anything more to discuss from wide receivers?
Well, we can kind of mention Jafar Armstrong is listed as wide receiver and running back, which we can talk more about that with the running backs.
Yeah. But
wide receivers, I mean,
running
backs. They got to figure. They have a lot to figure out in spring practice what they're going to do with wide receiver, because even Miles Boykin and Chase Claypool played the same position, and Miles Boykin played in the bowl game because Claypool was out. Somebody's going to got to be the leader there. I mean, we saw Claypool. He had good games. It was either all or nothing with him. So he's got to do something there to kind of make a difference in every game versus just having a huge game or disappearing. So somebody's got to step up and be a leader there. And then, obviously, Jafar Armstrong listed as a running back as well. So he was compared to Theo Riddick and C.J. Proceis.
Hey.
Be interesting to see. They need more running backs, so.
So yeah, let's talk about running backs. Brian Kelly, he did say Dexter Williams is healthy.
How often have we heard that?
I mean, we heard it several times through the season that he's never been this healthy.
Yes.
So,
Brian Kelly stuck up for him once again and said last year he had during the week and his inability to practice put him behind. And, you know, he saw spurts on game day, but, like, during the week, you know, he was just behind everybody because of the injuries that he had, and he just never caught up. Brian Kelly said he's broken the barriers on volume and workload, and he's looking much better. And also with Tony Jones, I mean, we never saw the Tony Jones that we heard about in spring camp and even fall. Well, Brian Kelly said, you know, it's a little bit different. They don't have, especially with Tony Jones, Josh Adams isn't there in front of him. Like, there's nobody in front of him to kind of, they knew Josh Adams was the number one guy.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's their chance to step up. And Tony Jones, you know, also had injuries last year and just nursing them. And Brian Kelly said he's stronger and he's got a coat of armor on him. The thing I want to see from these running backs is to play with the pain. I mean, you go out to Stanford and play against Bryce Love, he's basically limping off the field, and the next play he comes back and has this long run.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see that from these Notre Dame guys. They got a little, they stubbed their toe and they were done. You didn't see anything, and they were nursing and got behind on practice, whatever. These guys need to toughen up a little bit.
And I think that's the strength and conditioning program. And if you watch the videos, it sounds like, I mean, he's putting them through the ringer and pushing them.
Well,
and I do think that they're going to continue to develop grit and perseverance.
Well, kind of right now, just to add to it, Brian Kelly did mention the strength gains that they've seen. It was right at the beginning of the press conference. He said there's a big difference. He said it between year one and year two as far as strength and conditioning. He said it's clear and across the board. And they're way ahead at this point, at this time of year, they're way ahead from where they were last year at this point. And they even throw in with strength conditioning. They're even doing, like, a couple practices ago, they're working on atmosphere.
Yeah, they had strobe lights. Well, in one of the videos that Notre Dame posted, you could see it was pretty much the lights were all off, and then there was, looked like flashing strobe lights.
Strobe lights, they had loud music, and he said the players had to watch a video from last year, and it had a lot of the turnover chain in it, and they weren't too happy about it. So that is good to see, and they've changed that with their workouts and, you know, the things that they're doing. They're getting ready for that.
To help motivate.
Yeah.
A few walk-ons were moved over to running back. Cameron Ikenyake and Mick Asaf.
Yeah. We knew that Mick Asaf was happening. Right now, he's kind of the candidate to get a scholarship at the end fall camp, is my prediction at this point, but we'll see. Just because a lack of bodies at the running back position, and you know they always add a scholarship, but first they have to get below the 80. Or I think Branko's there at 90 right now, so they got to get below that, which it's Notre Dame. They'll be under the 85, no problem.
Let's move over to defense. Defensive line. Bonner is limited.
He had a wrist injury. But the news there, which we've known about it before, but Bonner is moving to one technique, and then technique and Jerry Tillery moved to the three technique. So they kind of swapped there. But then today, which that had come out a while ago, but then the day Brian Kelly mentioned that Bonner could also play strong side defensive on third down. So kind of moving Bonner around. With Jerry Tillery, Brian Kelly told him if he just wants to be a football player to go to the NFL, but if he wants to develop more of his game and fine-tune it, you know, and develop more of a pass rush, then he should come back for another year. And that's what Jerry Tillery did. And that's one thing that they want to work on is his pass rushing. But Brian Kelly, I think Brian Kelly kind of let it slip. We'll find out tomorrow. But I think Jerry Tillery is one of the captains. He called him a captain when he was talking about it and kind of kept going. And I was like, aha, he's one of the three. I guarantee he is. But he said he's like their SWAT team leader, some of the workouts they do during the day. He's a leader in that. And he's just more, he's taking on that leadership role kind
of. Well, and really every year there's been a continued growth in him. There's been doubt from a lot of people, but he has grown and matured.
Yeah.
And so definitely happy for him. And it's paid off. He's getting, you know, more recognition as a NFL prospect.
As far as other news, defensive line, Dalen Hayes, I guess, playing a little bit bigger. Khalid Kareem is as well. Then Jameer Jones switched from linebacker. He's now listed as a defensive lineman.
And he would be at that drop end, that rough, same position as Dalen and Julian.
So they actually have quite a few guys to work with on the defensive line. Unlike last year, we weren't sure what was going to happen there. It seems like they actually have guys to work with there. And a huge, one of the biggest things is Jerry Tillery coming back.
I don't remember hearing from interior lineman, Daniel Cage. I mean, at what point did he decide to give up football?
Well, they had said he was out last year. I'm not sure.
I never really heard, because I expected to hear somewhat of a confirmation that, yeah, he's given it up. And, I mean, I think it's clear at this point.
They did mention a while ago. I wonder if it's the end of the season, kind of. They had mentioned it again.
Okay.
Since the season's over with, so.
All right, linebackers. So,
Brian Kelly officially announced.
Yeah, Drew Tranquil moving over to Mike.
To the Buck.
I thought it was Mike.
No, to the Buck. Yeah, it was at Tavon Coney. And I don't know. We've had people have been saying that for a while. In my mind, they obviously have a lot of confidence in guys playing Rover, which Brian Kelly mentioned it. Asmir Bilal will be the first guy out as the Rover. But yeah, we've talked about this before.
Yeah, I think it's smart to give someone else a shot there and move Drew if you need to. I just don't think he's gonna last. I don't think he's thick enough to hold up.
Drew Tranquil?
Yeah.
You always wanted him as a linebacker. Now that he's a linebacker,
well, the
Rover was
the Rover is a linebacker.
I know,
but I think it makes sense to let Drew play the Buck and have someone else start out at the Rover. And, you know, you can always move him back if you need to.
Yeah, and it looks like it seemed like the next linebacker in was Jonathan Jones. And as of now, he's going to be backing up Coney, giving him a break. But we want Coney on the field as much as possible. But you do have more guys at the Rover position that could, you know, that could play for that. DJ Morgan is listed as a Rover. Isaiah Robertson switched from, that was one of the position changes. Isaiah Robertson switched from safety to a rover. So
they have a lot of guys.
You have that... Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah is another rover, so he's a guy that could push Bilal. So there are actually bodies for that rover position. And I think that's what, they have confidence in those guys that they'll have somebody that can do it. And a couple weeks ago, Clark Lee had actually mentioned that, you know, depending what package it is, Sean Crawford could even play in that rover position as, you know, more of a passing situation.
And probably the biggest question is, who do you get to play the buck then if you do have Tranquil Drew? Is out. If you do have Drew at the rover.
Oh, you mean if you move him over?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know. That's something they definitely got to figure out this spring.
All right. Cornerbacks.
Well,
did he really talk about cornerbacks that much?
Not a whole lot, because we basically know Julian Love is the star of the show there. But Troy Pride, yeah, I mean, they've got guys there with experience. I mean, you're only replacing one starter on defense, so.
Vaughn is a guy that it's make it or break it. I mean, he played as a freshman.
Well, there's talks of him moving to safety. I think he's actually listed as a, or did Brian Kelly mention that? I'd have to go see. Like, he's a guy that could move to safety.
Well, and even at safety, I mean, because he played a lot of years ago,
but then last year he didn't play at all.
There's a lot of guys coming, and so he needs to make, if he wants to play, this spring is his chance.
Yeah, and Houston Griffin is the one that, he's an early enrollee, and he's, you know, some people have him as a safety already, but his first shot is at cornerback. So they've got a lot of talent at the cornerback position. You know, can Sean Crawford maybe, you know, he had a year, he started out strong last year, but then it seemed to kind of fade out a little bit, you know, wear down a little bit. Now that he's been injury free for a year, you know, can he push, maybe he can push for Troy Pride's spot. Julian Love is still at cornerback, and he better stay there. So, but yeah, there's anything not a whole lot
from,
of change
from safety. Then, I mean, we kind of talked about that.
Well,
too.
The safety is a big question. You know what's going to happen there, because now Aloe Gilman is eligible. Derek Allen's highly touted, which he isn't there yet. So, but they got to figure some stuff out there, and the safety position has got to improve. And they got to figure out what to do. I mean, a lot of the guys that are at the safety position are strong safeties instead of the free safety. And so they got to figure out something there. So they finally have a lot of guys, a lot of bodies, but who's going to step up and who wants that job and what safety is going to get the first interception in over a year? So. Sorry, you can hear my papers rattling. I had so many notes this weekend. Yeah, another player, Jordan Genmark Heath, which he played in the bowl game quite a bit. He's a safety, but you know he's another guy that can maybe play rover as well. So, yeah, they just got to get that figured out. I'm not too worried about it. I mean, obviously they can switch Houston Griffith. Some people predict him ending up as a safety, you know, back there. And he's an early enrollee, so he's already there competing. But we'll just have to wait and see.
Tomorrow we'll know who the three captains are. But if you would have to make a guess, Randall, who would you say it is? And I think it's pretty easy.
I think so. I think Drew Tranquil is obviously.
Yeah.
Everybody would agree with that. Then I think it's Jerry Tillery and Sam Mustipher.
And I think the two easiest ones are Tranquil and Mustipher.
Yeah.
Because he's now the old man on the offensive line. And maybe someone who, without the slip-up about Tillery and what Brian Kelly said, I might have leaned towards the Mike linebacker.
Coney,
yeah.
Yeah, I don't think he's ready to be the lead. I don't think he's a captain yet. I do think they're going to name somebody else.
He's gone after this year anyway.
Yeah, I think they're going to name some more maybe in fall camp or somebody. Yeah. Or maybe.
Probably, because three captains, I don't.
Yeah. Going from seven to three.
Yeah.
Some other things that Brian Kelly mentioned in his press conference. He says he has not talked to C.J. Holmes and Deion McIntosh as far as a path back to the football team. He says that he hasn't discussed it with them at all. And he's focused on the scholarship players and, yeah. Which I don't think they're going to get back on the team.
Yeah.
And then another thing he mentioned, Brian Kelly said one thing he's changed. He said he has been going to the workouts just like he did last year. That's one thing he changed was get up, go to the workouts, and be with the guys more now that he's not calling plays, just different things. And he said this year one thing he's doing different is doing the one-on-one interviews after spring practice instead of in December. So after spring practice is over with, he's going to be meeting with the players one-on-one and get their input on things.
So, I wonder, do you know if other programs do that?
I don't know how they do it. I mean, you go to Alabama, Nick Saban would basically spend his day in prison talking through a glass window to get his input. So, and what's your bail going to be so you can get out in time for fall camp? Anyways, some guys are switching numbers. I'll just quick run over. Jordan Ginmar-Heath is number two. Avery Davis is number three. Troy Pride, number five. Tony Jones is number six. Jafar Armstrong, number eight. Aloe Gilman, number 11. And DJ Morgan, number 15. So you do see some different numbers there, number changes. Notre Dame also added three more members to the staff. They have two new graduate assistants on the defensive side, Larry Black Jr. and Nick Lazensky. And then they have one defensive analyst, and that is Chris O'Leary. So they did add some more guys to the staff. This last week, or this last week, it was actually another junior day. And they had one a couple weeks ago. This is the second one now. And Notre Dame aren't planning to have Irish Invasion this year. So instead they're doing these junior days. And they're getting some quality time with some big-time recruits, and it went very well. I mean, a lot of the guys are coming out, or actually it's not an official visit, so these guys coming out are paying for their trip and everything, so you can see how serious they are about coming to check out Notre Dame. There's the offensive linemen, a couple offensive linemen want to come out and just meet. They've been there before, but they want to come out and meet with Jeff Quinn. And, you know, they got a different position coach now, so meet with him. And it turned out very well. A couple more guys got some more offers than they had before. And it just sounds like it was an all-around success for Notre Dame to get these guys there. Notre Dame continues to give out a ton of offers. They're over 150 offers now for 2019. So it's... Yeah, they have a lot of work this summer weeding through all of those. The bad news was that Notre Dame did have a decommitment from Cade McNamara. He was the quarterback that was the first commit for the 2019 class. And obviously, you know, he's always said he's been all in for Notre Dame, on and on. And even just a week ago, he was saying that. Well, people were questioning it because he was getting a lot of offers. Just recently got, you know, Alabama, Georgia, USC, started getting all these big-time offers. And the frustrating thing is, here's an example of what we've always wanted Notre Dame to do. They actually offered a guy long before other schools did. He committed, and then it showed that he had a very good year. At first when he committed, you know, I wasn't too excited about it. I figured, well, they're just adding, after Phil Dracovic, you know, they're just adding another guy. But he had a very good year this last season, and he's a four-star. He's going to be a good quarterback. Well, now, who knows? And, you know, everybody's quite, you know, all these new offers, but one interview he did, he said some things have been said and some things have not been done, and he just doesn't feel like he's a good fit for Notre Dame. He doesn't know if they're going to keep recruiting him or not, whatever. But I don't know what all happened there, but I don't think I can't see him come back to this class.
Yeah, I don't either.
I'm guessing with the success he had this last season, with the offers coming in, I can see him reconsider it. But it's kind of frustrating with kids out there saying maybe he's had some negative recruiting going on as well.
Yeah.
But Notre Dame did lose a quarterback commitment. So they've got a couple other guys that they'll go after. One other thing, the opening, which was always in Oregon for the recruits, they're moving that to Dallas. So not a big deal, but I guess the cool thing for everybody in South Bend is that just a couple weeks ago, the South Bend Airport announced they're going to have a direct flight from South Bend to Dallas. So it'll make it a lot easier to get down there for the media guys to get down there to cover that. So, but yeah, they continue to give out offers, have guys, I mean, a lot of guys want to come back. And Notre Dame's in a good position with recruiting right now. They just don't have the actual commitments yet. But after the McNamara situation, I think everybody kind of changed their mind a little bit. It's, you know, let's make sure this guy is committed before, instead of just getting him on campus. So we'll see.
All right. Well, you guys can head over to the forums if you want to talk. Notre Dame football forums.irishsportstalk.net. Follow us on Twitter at Irish Sports Talk, and we're on Facebook and Instagram as well.
And the March Madness Challenge, I think, is next Sunday announcement. I believe so. Make sure you join our tournament challenge, Irish Sports Talk. Notre Dame is ready to play in the ACC championship, or they're not playing the championship game, but the tournament is starting. Their first game is against Pitt, who did not win any conference games, so they should win that.
So hopefully they can win one.
Oh, they'll win more than that. Bonzi Colson is back, and
he was named the ACC Player of the Week.
And he played he played for two games since his injury. So Notre Dame finally has most of its guys back. So not quite all of them, but they're a much better team than what their record shows. And if they want to get into the tournament, they need to have a good run here in the ACC. And I do think the committee, a lot of people think that the committee will look at, you know, their injuries. They didn't have Bonzi Colson, who's one of the best players out there. I mean, he's a phenomenal player. Matt Farrell was out for a while, too. So I'm sure they'll look at that, and hopefully Notre Dame can slip into the tournament because it's just so much better when they're involved. I did, you know, if they wouldn't make it there, they'd obviously be in the NIT. And I saw they're actually going to experiment with a couple things in the NIT, like they're going to move the three-point line back.
No.
And just some different things like that. So this year in the NIT, they're going to be trying some of those things.
Oh, that's dumb.
So
that is dumb.
Anyways, there you have it. But once you do sign up, fill out your bracket next Sunday, make sure that you join Irish Sports Talk, and we'll be giving out the 2018 shirt. And I just saw somewhere that they're planning to release the shirt on March 20th.
Okay.
So, which is, I think that's earlier than normal. Usually about
time of the spring game. Around that time.
It's earlier, so.
All right. Well, thank you guys for listening. And until next time, go Irish.
Go Irish.